is the Northwoods Fishing Report from Muskie 360 with your host, Josh Krieger.
All right, here we go. You are tuned into the Northwoods Fishing Report. I am your host, Eagle River Muskie Guide, Josh Krieger. This is the Friday, June 6, 2025 Fishing Report. We have lots to cover as it has been a week and a half since I last discussed a report with you guys, that Memorial Day special report. As I mentioned, we will have a report for you every week on Fridays moving forward, so look forward to that. The first thing I want to talk about is an experience that took place as I was fishing on a deep, clear lake up here. This was last week, midweek. Just for reference and to kind of start the story, the surface temps out there were just under 60 degrees, fishing a very steep breaking drop-off or point. And as I'm looking on Panoptics, kind of watching along the break, I see a very large mark at the surface out in 28 feet of water. I tell my buddy fishing with me, hey, that looks a lot like a muskie near the surface out over open water. Typically, that means they're active and feeding. Let's cast at it. So we cast at it, and nothing. It doesn't move. As we're getting closer and closer to this mark on the locator, we come across and see these fish. And it's about a 49 and a 43-inch muskie that are paired up. They look to be actively spawning and not interested in our baits that we threw by them at all. Now, this is late May. Surface temps are just under 60 degrees. It's a little seasonably late. Typically, they spawn at about 55 degrees is optimum. However, this is a deep, clear lake, so I know subsurface, those temperatures are going to be drastically colder than what they are on the surface. This whole experience kind of leaves me with more questions than answers. Were these fish actively spawning? Were they just going through the motions and going to be unsuccessful? Do some of these pelagic fish in some of these open water lakes, you know, where they may spend most of their lives in open water, do they spawn out deeper? Like I said, a lot more questions than answers from that experience. It was super neat, something that I have never come across before and may never come across again, where, yeah, you have a pair of very good sized muskies appearing to be actively spawning out over open water in 28 feet. Anyways, to get into some of the report here, we've had consistent weather, or did after Memorial Day, for almost a good week, and that led to the surface temperatures warming quite a bit. Currently, the surface temperatures on the local lakes are anywhere from the low 60s to the upper 60s, some of those deeper, clearer lakes still being around the low 60s, and some of the shallower stained waters being some of those warmer waters pushing 70 degrees. Not quite there yet, but pushing it. Also, some of those waters, especially the stained shallow ones, the surface temps tend to warm drastically when the sun is out, which it has been quite a bit recently. So surface temperatures are a measurable indicator for us, but they're not the end-all be-all, as the subsurface temperatures are going to be a little bit more steady and warm up a little bit more slowly than the surface temperatures do. The consistent weather and the warming surface temperatures has led to the fish becoming a little bit more active. With consistent weather and no real fronts moving through for a good week after Memorial Day, moon phases became a big key as far as when the fish would feed, specifically the evening major. Because we had quite a bit of heavy winds during some of these days the week after Memorial Day, a lot of these fish were in some wind-blown areas and relating to structures that were wind-blown or had the wind pushing into them all day, or they were relating to the wind-blown side of structures. So the big keys for the week after Memorial Day were the evening major as far as bite window, and then kind of a lot of those windblown areas. As I mentioned, the fish had become quite a bit more active. We caught a couple on the figure eight. We started catching fish on all different baits. We caught multiples on the mid Medusa, caught some on the 5-inch square bill slammer. I specifically like the square bill more than the circle bill. They used to only make the circle bill. The square bill is relatively new, but that bait has a lot of wobble to it, a lot of action. You can feel it kind of vibrate as you twitch the rod and make it dance. We caught fish on the Red October tube, the swimming dog. We caught them on some smaller bucktails, some double number sixes and single seven blades. I heard reports from other people last week, the week after Memorial Day, already catching fish on topwater. And my most productive bait last week was the Livingston Titan. It's a dive and rise bait, and the one reason it was probably the most productive is because I was throwing it the most regularly in the boat. And the reason for that is, again, it comes down to using the right tool for the job. So if I'm fishing deeper weed edges, I need a bait that's going to run a little deeper. And if I'm fishing shallower weed edges or shallower weeds, I need a bait that runs shallower. So the Titan is really nice because it's versatile in the aspect that it comes with two different size weights. It comes with a 14 gram weight and a 21 gram weight that can easily be changed out. This is super nice when you're on the water or going from lake to lake regularly, where you may be fishing 10 foot deep cabbage edges, and then the next day, or even if you're lake hopping within a day later that day, you may be fishing 6 foot cabbage weed edges. So that is very, very nice because now instead of having to buy two separate baits or use two separate baits, I can now utilize the different weighting system in the same bait to fish two different areas of the water column effectively. We actually had one fish that was aggressive enough that it headhunted a mid Medusa and we had to use the Nipex. I mentioned the Nipex by brand because I have used other hook cutters. I previously used a Williamson Lure saltwater hook cutter, and it worked, but it required two hands. And when a fish's life is on the line, we want something that's going to be fast and efficient and effective. And the Nipex is just a far more superior tool than any other hook cutter I've ever used. Like I said, I do promote the Nipex personally. I think it's a big, important tool to have on your boat in order to help save a muskie's life, especially if you're fishing by yourself. You really cannot use a hook cutter that requires two hands to cut the hook. Nipex, big tool I highly recommend to add into your boat if you don't already have them. This past week here now, so a week removed from Memorial Day, on Monday it was super, super hot. It was 85 degrees. The conditions were very, very tough. There wasn't a whole lot of wind. The morning bite was better than the evening bite. And just to show how tough conditions were, there are 84 guys up here that fish in the Monday Night Muskie League out of Eagle River. A lot of them are very, very good fishermen, local guys, and there were only 5 fish caught Monday evening between the hours of 4 p.m. and 9 p.m. So, like I had mentioned, with that warm weather and the no clouds in the sky, 85 degrees, not a lot of wind, fishing was pretty tough. Tuesday morning this past week was absolutely phenomenal. It was very, very humid in the morning, and temperatures actually began to drop right around noon. And what had happened was we had a big front coming in that had colder temperatures. And so once that kind of pushed in, the temperatures started to drop, and then the rain followed suit behind that. The fish were super aggressive before that front came in, or feeding prefrontal as you would anticipate. But once that front came in after noon and the rain came, the fish kind of shut down. They really were not wanting to move a whole lot once that rain was coming. We did get a lot of rain with that system, some places up to an inch, and I definitely noticed some things had changed on Wednesday and Thursday because of that. Both days, Wednesday and Thursday, were relatively clear skies in the morning. Wednesday was clear skies all day. There wasn't a whole lot of wind either day, and the fish seemed to have moved more to areas near river channels as we had more current flowing through on the flowage or the Eagle River chain, as it's a river system by nature and the lakes are created by a dam. Once you do get a lot of rain like this, there's more current that runs through these narrow areas, and muskies being ambush predators will often relate to areas either inside the river channel that have current breaks or right outside of the river channel in weed beds or slack water. This was definitely the case, like I mentioned, Wednesday and Thursday. Wednesday, the morning bite was better than the evening bite. Again, it was fairly tough. We were able to convince some of the lazy follows and some of the fish to actually eat during the morning major. But other than that, I think we had one other bite during the day. So pretty tough on Wednesday. Thursday, we had another morning major. We did get one bite during the morning major and we were able to put that fish in the boat. So that was nice. As I mentioned, bluebird skies, really no wind. In the middle of the afternoon, we did have some intermittent cloud cover move through with very gentle, slight breeze. And fishing picked up a little bit once that occurred. And the evening bite was pretty good. In my boat, we finally got our first topwater fish of the season near sunset, right in the middle of the evening major. So that fish was feeding right when it was supposed to. It was eating top water and it fed during the evening major, very, very close to sunset. Quick little recap here. The fish, as I had mentioned, after this past week and a half have become much more aggressive, even with them being fairly aggressive for opening weekend. You know, fishing was good on opening weekend. They have really, really ramped up and become more aggressive. They're eating kind of any bait you throw at them right now. It really comes down to using the right tool for the job. If I'm fishing shallow weeds, I'm going to throw something that runs a little bit shallower. If the fish are active enough where they're willing to come up above the weeds, I'll throw a bait that runs above the weeds. If the fish are kind of tight in the weeds and buried and they don't really want to move a whole lot because the sun is out and they're not active, that's when I'll start ripping rubber or twitch baits through the weeds to hopefully get a reactionary strike. And we were successful doing that a couple of times. So again, right tool for the job. So if I'm going through the weeds, I need something that's going to rip through them aggressively. If I'm going over the top, I need something that's going to run over the top, and I want to try to run right over the top of them. So if they're weeds that are growing down deeper and further below the surface, I want a bait that's going to run just a little bit deeper. If they're weeds that are just below the surface, I'm going to run like a bucktail very, very high, a dive and riser twitch bait with long pauses to let it come up to the surface, or top water in this instance where we had one eat Thursday night. The consistent weather overall for the last week and a half led to moon phase windows being big key feeding windows. So coming up, if we do have more consistent weather, especially approaching the full moon here this upcoming week, make sure you are fishing around any of those moon phase feeding periods if you can. The rain and the cold front followed by the sun and lack of wind caused many fish to move closer to the river channel in the last 2 days. And for the most part, the deeper weeds still tend to be more effective and better overall for fishing as far as the number of fish that they're holding. However, I did notice over the past couple of days, some of those fish have moved into some of the shallower weeds that are closer to the river channels as they have current moving through there. Fish right now are in the weeds and kind of right on the edge of the weeds. I haven't seen a whole lot of them too far off the breaks. So I would target a lot of fishing over the top of the weeds. If fish are not active, conditions are stacked against you, ripping baits through the weeds, and then also making sure you're targeting that weed edge effectively as well. So make sure every now and then you're making a parallel cast down the weed line as opposed to up on it so that you're running along the weed line the entirety of your retrieve. Real quick, before we get to looking ahead at the weekend coming up ahead of us, I do want to get started on the podcast Q&A that we had started last year again. So any questions that you may have as a listener about tactics, a specific lake up here in the Northwoods, anything I cover on the podcast, feel free to reach out, send me an email at eaglerivermuskyguide@gmail.com. And for subject, put podcast Q&A, and I will do my best each and every week to get to every question that is submitted. I really appreciate you guys listening, and I really want to help you guys be more successful on the water. That's the whole purpose of this podcast and all the tips and the report. So any questions you do have that you do feel may help you be more successful on the water that I may be able to answer for you, go ahead and submit those, and I will do my best to answer all of them. Looking ahead at the weekend on Saturday, the weather predictions are 72 degrees for a high with partly cloudy skies and south-southeast winds at about 5 to 10 miles an hour. Throughout Saturday, the first feeding period based on the moon's position is when the moon sets at 2:43 in the morning. That is a minor feeding period from 2:13 to 3:13 a.m. The second feeding window on Saturday based on the moon's position is when the moon is directly underfoot at 10:03 in the morning. This gives us a major feeding period from 9:03 to 11:03 in the morning. The third feeding period based on the moon's position on Saturday is 5:36 p.m. when the moon will rise, and this is a minor feeding period from 5:06 to 6:06 in the evening. The last feeding window on Saturday starts at 9:25 and finishes at 11:25 in the evening, as the moon will be directly overhead at 10:25 p.m. The sun will rise at 5:07 a.m. and it will set at 8:44 p.m., which gives us a total of 15 hours and 37 minutes of daylight. On Sunday, they are predicting a high of only 63 degrees with steady rain in the morning and possible rumbles of thunder in the afternoon with winds out of the southwest at 5 to 10 miles an hour. Again, prefrontal was big fishing here this last week. I anticipate that being the same. So Saturday night into Sunday morning, or Sunday morning into Sunday afternoon, whenever this front moves through, fishing before that may be a big key. Feeding periods on Sunday based on the moon's position. The first one of the day is a minor feeding period from 2:33 to 3:33 in the morning. And that is because the moon will be setting from the previous rise the night before at 3:03 in the morning. The second feeding window of the day is a major feeding period that begins at 9:47 and ends at 11:47 in the morning. This is when the moon is directly underfoot. If this front moves through in the afternoon on Sunday, it is possible that this major and the moon underfoot may line up well prefrontal fishing. And if that does happen, where the front comes through as that major is taking place in the afternoon, my anticipation would be that that bite window will be very, very good. The moon will rise at 6:43 p.m. on Sunday, which gives us a minor from 6:13 to 7:13 in the evening. And then the final feeding period on Sunday night is when the moon is directly overhead. That will take place at 11:11 p.m. So the major feeding period takes place from 10:11 p.m. until 12:11 in the morning on Monday morning. The sun will rise at 5:06 in the morning and set at 8:45 in the evening. This will give us a total of 15 hours and 39 minutes of daylight on Sunday. One last thing, real quick, before I let you guys go, that I do want to let you know. All of this information about the moon's positioning and the feeding periods and the sunrise and set and amount of daylight in a day and everything can be found right on the Muskie 360 app. It's actually what I use for the data to provide to you guys. If you haven't already, go ahead and do yourself a favor and download the Muskie 360 app. First off, it's free. And second, it is solely designed to help you catch more fish and become a better angler. It has great articles, information, and all sorts of tips, tricks, and different tactics to help you be more successful on your time on the water. So not only is it a great tool to utilize when you're not on the water to learn and educate yourself and become a better angler, but it's also a great tool to use while you're right on the water, because it will give you the moon information for exactly where you are at if you allow the permissions in the app to use your location. So if you are out on the water and you forgot to look up the major and minor feeding periods ahead of time, you can go on the Muskie 360 app and using satellite, it will pinpoint your location and then give you the exact feeding periods throughout the day based on the moon's position for your geographical location so that you can make sure you are fishing those prime feeding windows and giving yourself the best chance at putting that next big muskie in your net. That was it. Thank you guys very much for tuning in. I hope this information helps you guys catch some fish. I look forward to hearing some of your questions via email here and answering some of those for you. Again, we're just trying to help you catch fish with this podcast. That's the sole purpose of it. So please do feel free to send those questions out. Again, good luck. Thanks for tuning in. Go catch that big one.
The Muskie 360 Northwoods Fishing Report is brought to you by these fine sponsors. The Muskie Shop, the world's largest muskie outfitter. Livingston Lures, hear the difference. The Figure 8 Lure Company. The Muskie 360 app.